Following Women Space's show was recorded on Monday, September 17th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Well, I have three special guests in the studio with me today. I have Regina Brennan from Sonoma County Black Forum, and we'll be talking about the 2018 Youth Summit. I love their theme, Lead, Serve, and Thrive. The 2018 Youth Summit is a collaboration between Sonoma County Black Forum and Sonoma State University Black Student Union. This is the first annual Youth Summit, and it's going to take place on Saturday, September 22nd. At Sonoma State University at the Student Center. And I'll talk a little bit more about times, etc., later on in the show. Also joining me, I'm very excited about this group because I've been following the North Bay Jobs with Justice for a long time, and I'm very excited to have two special guests with me, Maria Guadalupe Garcia, who is the lead organizer of the North Bay Jobs with Justice, and Mara Ventura, the director of the North Bay Jobs with Justice which is a group that works with local workers' rights and immigration rights. And I'm really excited they're going to be having something special coming up that we're going to be talking about. And so I think this is going to be a pretty heavy-duty show. And what's so interesting about today's show is, you know, last week, as I announced, I became a great-grandmother. And it is really weighing on me, this title, great-grandmother. I mean, that just seems like, number one, you know, you feel ancient, of course, you know, being a great-grandmother. But the idea, you know, the grandmothers, you know, I follow the 13 indigenous grandmothers, and I really recognize how powerful it is to be a grandmother because you're responsible for generations that are coming in. But to be a great-grandmother, all of a sudden you realize, you know, how difficult it is. What kind of world is this child coming into? So what it does is it just makes you more committed to working for peace, for talking about peace, for talking about peace and justice, for talking and for trying to help people understand the importance of women standing up together and joining hands and saying enough is enough. We want a good, safe world for our children. Which brings me to the next phase of the program. You know, they had the Peace Wall presentation in Sebastopol, California. In the Sebastopol Living Peace Wall, it held its fourth annual induction ceremony and celebration where four peacemakers were honored who have worked nonviolently for peace and justice. Amazing, nonviolently for peace and justice. And this year's honorees were Daniel Ellsberg, Dolores Huerta, Tu Wiliski, and Therese Mangaman. Wow, what a group. You know, Daniel Ellsberg is best known for releasing the Pentagon Papers during the Vietnam War, which revealed the government's duplicity and helped to end the war. Boy, I remember those days. Remember, I was somewhat of a hippie in the 60s. I remember us marching for wars and yelling and the police coming and people, you know, seeing the dogs on the air and all the different things that were happening. And Daniel Ellsberg definitely played an important part at that time. And then, of course, Dolores Huerta, who is the co-founder along with Cesar Chavez of the United Farm Workers, and also has been a strong advocate for women's rights. And I'm going to spell this name out because I just do not want to destroy it the way I pronounce things sometimes. It's Wilschinsky. And he leads dances. This is wonderful. Dances for Universal Peace, which are designed to open the heart to our unity and the diversity of religion and all our different cultures. And, you know, that's the beauty of the United States. That really is. And when I the cultures, you know, the diversity, you know, we're not a one religion country. We're a a multitude of religions, a multitude of ethnicity, a multitude of diversity of people. I mean, you know, where it's like Jesus talks about the colors in the field of the flowers. That's how we are in the United States. We're just a combination of many cultures and many people. But for some reason, even though we're so diverse, we still have these prejudices, and we still want to keep people out. And I think about one of the honorees was Therese Mongam. I hope I don't pronounce her name wrong. But anyway, Therese, I'm just going to say Therese. She came from Palestine. Her parents, she was a baby. She was born in Palestine. They fled during the war in 1948. So it's all these different stories of refugees and why people come to this country. You know, my family, my father came from Poland. You know, he was born in Poland, so I guess I'm an immigrant, a child of an immigrant. You know, my grandmother came from Russia. My mother was the first generation. My mother was actually the first person who graduated high school in her family, which was such a huge deal. It was just amazing. So when you start thinking about this, people coming, they're fleeing their country. Why are they fleeing their country? I mean, I don't want to leave my country. I live in Santa Rosa, California. Why would I want to leave here? It's beautiful. The sun is shining. There's no guns, no bombs going off. But these people are running. They're fleeing. And we have to remember that. And there's an old saying, there but poor fortune go you or I. You know, if it can happen to one person, it could happen to any one of us. That's why it's so important that we work for peace and equality for all. Well, I have a few announcements to make. There's a lot going on in our community, an awful lot. Oh, by the way, I want to do a shout-out for the Peace Wall. I mean, what a great idea to have had this happen. It was developed by a gentleman in Sebastopol by the name of Michael Gelati. Thank you, Michael. You've done a wonderful thing for our community. Well, I do have a few announcements to make, and let's see. Let me get that paper out here. Here we go. We have on – this is tomorrow. God, I can't believe it's already half the month is gone. Tomorrow, Tuesday, September 18th, from 11:30 to 1, there's going to be a community town hall with Congressman Jared Huffman. That's going to be at the Mentor McVeigh Recreation Center in Petaluma on 426 8th Street, and that's Petaluma. That's going to be a community town hall with Congressman Jared Huffman. I think it's very important that we meet with our congressmen and we tell them, you know, we want peace. Very important. Anyway, if you have any questions, call the Sam Rafael office at 415-258-9657. And Wednesday, September 19th, here in the city of Santa Rosa, the Community Advisory Board is going to be having an open house at the Turk Round Barn at 819 Donahue Street in Santa Rosa. And that's going to be very interesting. The Community Advisory Board usually helps the community with grants and helping different functions. And this year, they're changing a little bit. And I think at one time, the Community Advisory Board was developed in lieu of district elections. And now that we're having district elections in Santa Rosa, I'm thinking that maybe they're starting to rethink what the Community Advisory Board's all about. And then the last announcement I have, and we will talk about it, is what's happening on Saturday, September 22nd, from 8 to 5, Lead, Serve, and Thrive, the 2018 Youth Summit. Looks like it's going to be from 9th to 12th graders. And we're going to be talking to Regina Brennan about that, and she'll give us all the information on where to go, why to go, what's happening, and all that other good stuff. Let's see, do I have any other more announcements? No, that's about it. And I'm really looking forward to talking to the two gals that are here from Jobs with Justice, North Bay Jobs with Justice, because they're having a special on next Monday, September 24th, from 7 to 9 at the Peace and Justice Center. It's going to be called Rise Up, A Look at Today's Labor Movement. And that's going to be happening from 7 to 9 p.m., and we'll be talking about addresses, et cetera, about that. And as I've mentioned many times on the air, my father was a union man, and I know about unions. I mean, he held on to his card. In fact, my dad was buried with his union card. That's how much it meant to him. At one point, he got an opportunity to get a job outside of the union and maybe elevate himself a little bit, and he kept paying his union dues. And my mother got real upset about it, you know, because she says, why do we have to spend the money? And my father says, you know, you never know. This and I may not work out, and I've got my union card. It's a few bucks, and I support the union. Well, lo and behold, it didn't work out, and sure enough, he could go back to his job, go back to the same position, the same salary, and went on from there and retired. And I'll never forget what he said to me one day. He said, I says, Dad, why do you believe so strongly in the union? He says, because I never met a boss that would give you a raise without a struggle. Simple as that. And, you know, I have honored that, and I have honored my father. He belonged to Mailer's Union No. 9 in Los Angeles. He worked for the newspapers, the Daily News, the Los Angeles Examiner, and really proud of you, Dad. Proud to make his announcement. His name was Solomon Holtz from Poland. Barely spoke English when he came here. You know, barely spoke English, and he made a huge contribution in the world of the union. So thanks, Dad. Well, we're going to take a musical break. I got to tell you, I'm playing this song, Let There Be Peace, by a woman by the name of Becky Hobbs. Now, as I've announced on my show many times, I'm always looking for women singers, you know. And I was looking for the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and I discovered this song. When I played it, I got to tell you, folks, I became unglued. I literally became unglued. And what's so beautiful about the song is that Betsy is a Cherokee woman. It's Becky Hobbs, excuse me. It's called Let There Be Peace by Becky Hobbs. It's from her album, The Nanachi Beloved Women of the Cherokee. It is one of the most beautiful songs that I have heard for peace. And it tells a story. It tells a story about war and peace, and it tells a story about how long, you know, I was so honored to be able to talk to Becky this morning. I mean, I just can't believe that her and I had a conversation, especially after going through the whole album of this whole play that she wrote. But the words, it tells a story, and the hardest part about this story is to recognize, number one, how long we as a species have been warring. That's number one, particularly in this country, the United States of America. I mean, we've been at war almost ever since the first day that we set on our ground here. But also how women have been struggling to bring peace, how women have stood up over the ages. When we got the vote in 2020 with the whole suffrage movement, the idea behind the movement was if women voted, we could end wars. Well, right now we're struggling to make sure that there's four Republican women that don't vote to let this judge in to be the Supreme Court. I mean, it's very important that women stand together and stand up together. We are the bearers of the future. Whether you have children or not, it doesn't matter. You have been given that charge by the Great Spirit, by the Great One, by whatever. And we have to stand together. But listen to the lyrics of this song, because it tells a story. It tells a story of how long we've been warring and how deeply women are calling for love and for peace. So let's go ahead and listen to Becky Hobbs singing Let There Be Peace. And when we return, I will be talking with Regina Brennan from the Sonoma County Black Forum, and we'll be talking about the 2018 Youth Summit, Lead, Serve, and Thrive. What better thing can you do than to help our youth lead, serve, and rise?
I was born in a field of corn in the land of the Cherokee. I did my chores, but I knew there was more than my eyes could see. I married young, he was brave and strong, but he died fighting for his creed. I took his place, but I vowed someday that we would live in peace. horse rides strong to the warrior's song. But a change whispered through the wind. The white man's heart beats the same as ours. When will we understand? Our children died in the white wolf cry. All ye people, lay down your guns. It's time to lead our hearts to peace, that we may live as one. Let there be peace.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. You know, there's one line here. I love this. The time to raise our hearts so we can see we may live as one. And another thing that's so interesting, when she talks about, you know, I married young and he was brave and strong, but he died fighting for his dream. You know, then he goes on, the wars retched on to the warrior's son. You know, it's a story that we've been warring for a long time, and it's time to stop. Well, folks, for you just joining, you are listening to KPBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And with further ado, I would like to introduce my first guest, Regina Brennan. Welcome, Regina. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. I must tell you that being brave and strong resonated with me from that song, a beautiful song. I think it's calling all of us to be braver, to be stronger, particularly during the current administration. So thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Regina actually is one of the co-coordinators of the Youth Summit, 2018 Youth Summit. But we're going to talk about that. She decided to retire from the Santa Rosa City School District after nearly 30 years, wow, as a classroom teacher in 2017. Her teaching career began at George Washington Middle School in Long Beach, California, where she was Teacher of the Year in 1993 and ended up at Santa Rosa High School, where she taught there for 18 15 years, a variety of world history classes. Retirement, and for Regina, retirement means developing her small gardening business, learning Spanish, spending more time with her family, and trying to stay relevant during uncertain times. She, along with a small group of educators and activists, created the Sonoma County Black Forum on August 2017, listen to this, to support the youth in their community. Well, welcome. Welcome.
Again, thank you very much for having me.
Do you want to add anything else, Regine? Anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about you?
One of the things that I would like to do to stay relevant is to make sure that we tap into all the youth within our community and help them develop more to their fullest potential.
I'll say amen to that one. Absolutely. We have to pay. You know, I don't understand how people don't get it through their brain. The youth is our future. You know, we're going to get old. We need a future where someone, the youth is taking, you know, we need more variety and more togetherness. So thank you so much for doing
it. How do we nurture that spirit, that peaceful spirit among our young people? That's one of the goals that I have.
And the energy. I mean, I wish I had one-tenth of the energy I had when I was in the ninth grade. Well, listen, Regina, talk about the Sonoma County Black Forum. What is it about, and how did you get involved, and why do you think it's so important in our community?
Okay, well, the Sonoma County Black Forum, actually we started meeting with a group of people who felt as though communities of color had targets on their back from the current administration. And so a number of us, including Petaluma Blacks, it's called Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, the NAACP, Fence at the Top, the Black Chamber of Commerce. We were meeting as a group, as an organization. It was a social event. And so a few of us wanted something a bit more. And we decided that we were going to create an organization, a nonprofit organization that will, yes, number one, support the youth, but also support our entire community. And we were wondering, what do we do with this new organization that was created in 2017? Well, we decided after several meetings that we would have a few priorities. Now, some of the priorities we had, I've already mentioned one, the youth, the black youth in particular, education, health, social justice, financial literacy, and then also entrepreneurship. Those were our main priorities. And from that list, we selected one of them to implement for 2018. And the one we chose was the Youth Summit.
Well, in asking, but it's for all youth, right?
Absolutely. It's for all youth.
You know, that's the beauty of the diversity. You know, it doesn't matter who starts it. Everybody can join. And that's the most important thing. So go ahead, continue if you have anything else to say.
So in terms of the Youth Summit, I have to tell you a little bit about how how it came to be.
Go ahead.
So for several years, my students and I would attend a youth empowerment conference that was held at Stanford University. It's a long way to Stanford. The students would leave from Santa Rosa High School. We would leave like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we wouldn't get back until 6 o'clock that evening. And when we debrief about their experience for that day, you know, how was it? What were the workshops like? Because we weren't, as adults, we are not allowed to enter the workshops. It's a space for high school students only. And so the students said, we were motivated. We were inspired. We feel as though we now know what direction our life should go in, or we would like for them to go in. So when we were talking about the Sonoma County Black Forum and the youth Summit, we said, why can't we do something like that right here in Sonoma County? And so we extended our hand to the BSU at SSU and asked if they wanted to collaborate with us, with the Sonoma County Black Forum. And so they were not, you know, they're young students, they're 18, 19, some of them are 20 years of age, and they're not used to organizing such huge event. And neither were we, honestly, but we decided that we were going to figure it out. And so for the first few years, we expect that Sonoma County Black Forum is going to lay the foundation, and we're going to receive a lot of support and collaboration with the BSU at SSU. So Our goal is, in about 3 years, maybe 4 years, SSU students will take it totally on themselves, like the students at Stanford University have done. And they've done it for 19 years. This is our first year.
Well, I can feel just in your body language that this is going to be a success. You know, it reminds me, you know, one of the things, it's very important, and we'll give all the addresses out, but it's really important. I remember when I first started doing journal workshops. I remember the first journal workshop I did, one person showed up. And I did it anyway. I did it. And then the next one, four people showed up. But the third one, 30 showed up. So the first one is always the hardest. I'm sure you're going to have more than one. But the first one is always the hardest. But the whole bottom line, Regina, is you're going to have the first one. You did it. You're pulling it together. You got all the information out there. You're inviting people, and it's going to happen. So that's really, really exciting to me. You know, your theme is lead, serve, and thrive. Talk a little bit. Where did you – what's the lead? I guess the lead might be to become leadership. Talk about what that means.
Absolutely. So all of these – the theme will be incorporated within the day, within the Youth Summit keynote speaker, with our Master of Ceremonies, within our workshops as well. We'd like the students to really come away with, what does it mean to be leaders within our community? What does it mean to serve our community? What does it mean to really thrive in an environment that is meant to not be very conducive to thriving, especially in certain communities?
Are young people attracted to stuff like this? I mean, or do they have to be forced, or what? Well, how do you get young people? Because most, you know, I remember when we were growing up, it was don't trust anybody over 30, you know, stuff like that.
It varies. It absolutely varies. And I will tell you that after many years in the classroom, we have some amazing young people out there who are so aware of where we are as a country. So don't count them out. They are so inspired. Not all of them. But a number of them are very interested in being better.
We all want to be better. And, you know, that's the way, when you want to become better, you know, that's such a big word. I want to be better. I want to improve myself. I remember when I went back to college, at 30 years old, and I thought I could never make it until some gentleman took my hand and took me over to a tutoring office. You know, so to let young people know what is available to them and that they have the power within themselves is so important. Well, what do you hope to accomplish from this? Well, you know, you want them to walk away feeling good, but what are some of the other things that you hope to accomplish?
Well, I'd like for the students to leave with more than what they came with. So how are we going to do that? Number one, we're going to give them a number of workshops, and the workshops will be, for example, we have two workshops, actually, on coding. Now, coding is an essential skill that students will need for the 21st century. We have also another workshop that is about the transition from high school to college.
Oh, so important.
We have another workshop that is only for parents, and it's titled Making the Grade. And we're going to have an admissions officer, director actually of SSU admissions office, and she's going to talk with the parents and guardians and other school What does it take for students to achieve higher education? We have another workshop on financial literacy. We have another one that is based on interests of medical, law, and business field. We have another workshop that is titled How to Deal. And How to Deal is basically, it's going to be facilitated by Mick Gardner, who is Restorative Resources Director, and he's going to lead a discussion with SSU students about how to function as a student of color within the current social climate. Now, sandwiched between the many workshops, we're going to have a college fair. The college fair will consist of a variety of colleges and universities. It will also be an opportunity for local nonprofit organizations to present to the students their information. The college fair, we're going to have some active recruiting taking place for potential students for prospective colleges and universities.
Boy, I wish they had something like that when I was going to high school. My goodness, this is a well-packed summit.
It is. It's going going to be really busy. We're very happy to have Greg Saris as our keynote speaker. And Greg Saris grew up in Southwest Santa Rosa. He attended Santa Rosa City School. By the time he made it to Santa Rosa High School, he wasn't doing very well at high school. And one of the things that he did was enroll in a class taught by the late Gene. Oh, Gene. I'm sorry, Gene.
It's okay.
DeSoto. There we go. Gene DeSoto. Gene DeSoto was a fabulous English teacher, and he was able to inspire Greg to graduate from high school and to pursue his PhD from Stanford eventually. Greg Saris has written a number of books. He's written one book titled Grand Avenue. Grand Avenue was converted into, transformed into an HBO series. Greg has a compelling story, an inspirational story to give to our student attendees. Grades 9 through 12 are all welcome. Please come out and support this event.
Okay, so it's happening on
Saturday, September 22nd. It's from 8 to 5. Two important things. Students are going to receive a free continental breakfast. They're also going to receive a lunch. They're also going to receive a free T-shirt. And on top of that, Santa Rosa City School is providing transportation from Santa Rosa High School parking lot for the first 55 that can make the deadline of 7:30 a.m. All other students will find their own transportation to Sonoma State. And we encourage everyone to attend. It's free, and they'll come away with more than what they arrived with.
And let me just say that all that information that you just gave us will all be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. So if you missed anything, let me just repeat it for you. This is going to be happening this Thursday, September 22nd.
No, Saturday.
Oh, excuse me, this Saturday, September 22nd at Sonoma State University in the Student Center from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for students grade 9 to 12, and they'll have an opportunity to organize, network, and prepare for their future. And also, you're saying there's going to be bus rides for the first 50?
For the first 55, and we can accommodate students as well as families, but we are limited to 55 individuals for the bus.
Is there a website?
There is. We have a website, Sonoma County Black Forum. It's a Weebly account. What you can do is put in 2018 Youth Summit in your search engine. Search engine at Sonoma State. Let me say that again. 2018 Youth Summit at Sonoma State University. And you will easily, I believe it's the first or second hits. It will take you directly to the Press Democrat classified ad, and you can click on the link, and that will take you directly to the pre-registration. We encourage students to pre-register. The reason why is because we want to make sure we have enough food, we have enough T-shirts as well.
Well, Regina Brennan, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in. This was a last-minute thing. And just to let my listeners know, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit. This was Regina's first time on the radio. And, hey, let's give her an A-plus, everybody. This was wonderful. Thank you so much. And to remind folks again that the summit is going to be, and I encourage, this is so important. You know, all you parents out there, get out, get your kids to this summit. I mean, this is so important that youth gather, start talking to each other. And we need to raise their self-esteem, and this is the way we do it. So it's going to be happening this Saturday, September 22nd at Sonoma State University in the Student Center from 8 to 5 p.m. Students from the 9th to 12th grade are welcome, and also they're going to have, you know, are parents welcome?
Yes, there's one workshop that is only for parents.
Oh, good.
All the others are for students. Can I mention one more thing? We have a delightful JC student named Tyler Avery Lewis. She is our Master of Ceremonies. She's also Miss Sonoma County for 2018, and she's going to sing a bit during the lunch break.
Well, for anybody who wants to see Miss Sonoma County, we have a beautiful picture of her. We took them together at the Juneteenth. You know, I'm on the Juneteenth board also, and I'll bring it up, so we'll mention that too. Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Well, we're going to take another musical break. And I'm going to play this song. It's called A Change Is Going to Come, sung by Lela James. James. And the reason that I picked this is because we are sitting, of course, Ken is here. We have our token male. Hi, Ken. You know, but here we are. Here's very powerful women in this studio. And this is a good song. A change is going to come. You know, we've been waiting long enough. The time is now. So here we go. And when we come back, I will be talking with Maria Galupi Garcia, who's the lead organizer of the North Bay with Justice, North Bay Jobs with Justice, and Mara Ventura, who is actually the director of the North Bay Jobs with Justice. And we will be talking about up-and-coming events that are happening and also about their organization.
I was one by the river in a little tent, and oh, just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a too hard living, but I am afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next two guests, Mara Ventura, the director of the North Bay Jobs with Justice, and Maria Guadalupe Garcia, who is also, she's one of the lead organizers for the North Bay Jobs with Justice. Well, welcome both of you to Women's Spaces, and thank you for sitting and listening to the first part of the show. It's just wonderful to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, before we start, let me tell my folks just a little bit about you, if that's okay. Mara Ventura is the director of North Bay Jobs with Justice, a local workers' rights and immigrants' rights organization. She's been a student organizer for 4 years throughout Oregon and Washington, a labor union organizer for 6 years throughout the country, and has been organizing here with the North Bay Jobs with Justice since 2017. Well, welcome, Mara. Welcome to our county.
Thanks.
Maria Guadalupe Garcia is the lead organizer of North Bay Jobs with Justice. Maria previously worked with the California Faculty Association on a statewide campaign called Students for a Equality Education, where students and faculty came together and they are fighting for a free, accessible, and quality education at all the California state universities. Maria began as the lead organizer for the North Bay Jobs for Justice, with Justice, after helping Sacramento put rent control on the ballot, which passed this last spring. Well, congratulations. Boy, what a powerful group we have in this audience today. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome. Anything else you'd like to add that maybe that I left out? Okay.
Everything was good.
Well, let's talk about, you know, this is Women's Spaces, and the whole idea is to kind of inspire women to get involved. What inspired you both to get, I mean, you're both beautiful young women. What inspired you to all of a sudden become involved, so entrenched with unions and working with Jobs with Justice? Want to start with you? Okay, go ahead. Maria, we'll start with you, my friend.
Okay, so the reason that I would get involved is, I don't know, I feel like we should be in the forefront, honestly, and especially being a woman of color, or at least I actually consider myself a non-binary person of color, which is something different. But anyways, it's very important to have us in the forefront. And I feel like a lot of the spaces are really dominated by white males, and then also the labor movement. Like, it's been changing, and it's amazing. And so
a change is going to come, but it doesn't come until you come forward, until women say, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to come up there. I'm going to find my place at the table, and you're not going to throw me out.
Yeah. So that's some of the reasons that I feel like we should just take up space, take up a lot of space.
How about you, Mara?
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, I think I also was sort of shaped by the economy. My livelihood was shaped by the economy. Our family was really transient. You know, we're lifelong renters, and we also lived pretty nomadically. We would move from city to city or state to state wherever my parents could find work. And I don't think I really understood what that meant until I went to college, and I really started to understand, especially having, I had to drop out of school 2 or 3 times so that I could go work, make enough money to come back and pay for school. And then I could usually only pay for a term or two at a time. And so I think I started to make these connections of what my parents were going through growing up, and now what I was trying to do to struggle to just pay for school. And I came out of school and thought, the only way that I feel like I'm really going to have a change, see real changes, is if I get involved, like you said. And so I first became a student organizer because I organized as a student. It was all I knew. And there I got trained on a range of organizing skills and experiences, and sort of moved on from there.
But you also did one other important thing that really needs to give you credit, is that you had the confidence and the know for it to look at your experience, saying, this is the experience I'm having. I don't like it. I want to see if there's something I can do about it. I mean, that's so important. You know, we don't think that we can affect change. You know, we don't think that we can affect change, but we can, no matter what our circumstances. It's not, you know, when I listen to you and I hear about the, you know, moving, I look at my own youth. Ken and I talk about our youth. He had a very stable youth. You know, father worked, you know, had a high paying job. You know, mother was home making chocolate chip cookies. You know, my family, they were immigrants. You know, they were just barely learning how to adjust to the United States. So all these things are happening. And at the same time, they're still looking at the possibility of bettering their lives, even though the circumstances were, on some levels, horrendous. So I want to acknowledge you for that. And also what you were saying, also, Maria, is the fact that, excuse me, Mara. Wait, I got to, you know, Mara, Maria.
I
okay.
Know.
This is Mara. That's Mara and that's Maria. Okay. One of the things that Maria said that I thought was very, very important about the idea of wanting to come up front, wanting to do something, looking at the disparity, you know, of women of color, how they're not being represented, you know, how young people are not being represented. I mean, I think that's why I think that summit is so important, to give our young people a voice. So go ahead. Talk about... I'm really curious when I look at it, and I have to go very slow. North Bay Jobs with Justice, not for justice, but with justice. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. And Maria, you should jump in. So this is a coalition. It's a community, labor, student, and faith coalition. We're a chapter of 52 chapters around the country. And we were started 31 years ago, actually. It was our 30th anniversary last year. And it started because Black women call center workers in Detroit were organizing for a union with the Communication Workers of America back in 1986 and 1987. And unfortunately, the company closed down on them in order to get around having to pay them fair wages and provide health benefits. And Federal Labor Committee really didn't do anything to support them. So they began to organize, and they started organizing their legislators to improve wages and working conditions. And they were with the president at the time, Larry Cohen of the Communication Workers of America, talking with legislators. And a particular legislator on the Labor Commission for the federal government said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just consumed right now with trying to bring out jobs for folks. And they said, yeah, we need jobs, but we need jobs with justice. We need jobs that provide livable wages, that ensure that when people are sick, they're taken care of, that ensure their ability to take care of their children. So we can't just create employment for the sake of employment. We have to make sure that these are jobs that have justice built into them. And the name stuck. And that's what we've been. These Black women created the first North Bay Jobs with Justice chapters. And we've grown in the last 30 years since.
Well, you know, it's amazing when you start thinking that justice is a fair wage, justice is safe working conditions, you know, justice is child care. I mean, all the different things that people need, you know, and we don't think of it in those terms. That's why when I start writing the script, I start saying, with justice. That's so interesting to me. What a great concept. And there's another thing I thought you could talk a little bit about in your organization. You have what is known as a workers' right board. I mean, what does that entail? What is that all about?
Yeah, so just to echo, you know, what we talked about. So so we have a National Labor Relations Board that workers at one point created in federal government that were supposed to sort of be the place that help hold these big, you know, multimillionaire, multibillionaire CEOs and companies accountable for treating their workers right. But, you know, at the end of the day, what happens is they don't always side with workers. They are not always there thinking about justice
and
equality.
Yeah, that's exactly what my father said. He said, you know, you never meet a man who's going to get a boss who's going to give you a raise without a struggle.
Absolutely. And so part of the work that Jobs with Justice started to do 30 years ago was say, if this council is not going to stand up for us, then we need to show up for each other, and we need to build our own systems that work to support each other. And so the Workers' Rights Board was the vision that came out of workers who were building Jobs with Justice chapters. And so it's a panel. The president of this radio station, Alicia Sanchez, is one of the panelists. And essentially, we throw a panel together. We have a chair. We have two co-chairs right now. One is Bonnie Petty from Jobs with Justice.
Oh, I love Bonnie.
And Ralph Miranda, who's also awesome, former president of Teamsters Local 665. And they assemble a panel that then allows workers to come in and testify about particular experiences that they're facing where they've been trying to improve working conditions or ensure that they have the justice they need. And then they get to a report is issued about what they think the right solutions are to improve their worksite.
Well, you know, they talk a lot about the middle class, that we've lost ground in the middle class. And what people fail to recognize is that the middle class grew after World War II. number one. And what made it so powerful was the fact that we had unions that were organizing, that they had fair wage, that you had the auto workers, you had, I mean, the country was prospering in a way. I mean, when I grew up, I never knew hunger. My mother was in the home. Ken's mother was in the home. You know, I mean, the conditions, they made decent wages so you could have that kind. And then when we went to college, I mean, I don't even think I paid $200 a year when I went to college. I ended up with a master's degree. And now our young people can't even think of college without thinking of this burden of horrible death. Well, it is a form of death, of debt. And it's really, you know, and I see right now, particularly, you know, the unions are bringing in new people. They're bringing in more of the gay people, more of the transgender group, and also women and youth. I mean, youth are, I mean, when I remember, what did we work for? 20 cents an hour? I mean, and we were abused if we were lucky, if we had a job. So it's really talk about how, why the unions are going this way, why they're bringing in more diversity, and how that's helping them strengthen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that in order for unions to continue to survive, as we've seen this constant attack from the right wing, they have to think about how they're more intentional about engaging their membership, who are young, who are LGBTQ, who are folks of color, and not just engaging them in the work of the union, but actually giving them a meaningful role in their union, that folks want to be at the table helping make decisions about their unions. And so the right unions are not just bringing these members up into staff and into elected leadership of the unions, but there are even unions that are creating committees and caucuses, regional ones, statewide ones, national caucuses with conferences that are just by and for folks of color, for women. There's LGBTQ union caucuses. So they're really meaningful places and pathways for people to get more involved in their unions. And that means that the things that the unions work on are more accountable to those communities. They're ensuring better protections for undocumented workers, better protections for sexual harassment. Look at the Me Too movement. Better protections for LGBTQ. So I think that's how unions are going to survive.
But also another important point, you know, oftentimes the way that things are destroyed is you put a negative spin on it. You know, like unions are corrupt and all that. To me, when they say that, it's just like the welfare mother who's buying liquor or drugs, you know. These are false illusions. You need people gathering. You need people organizing. You need people coming together for rights. You know, if for some reason, you know, when I'm listening to that song that I played, and I think that she's talking about her grandmother that lived in the year 1700, and here we are in 2018, and we're still struggling with the same issues. War, equality, women, you know, the same thing. So these things are really, really important. You know, why don't you talk, Maria, why don't you talk a little bit about how to get youth involved and why you feel it's very important, and maybe do a little pitch for this youth summit too that's going on, because I think their involvement is very important.
Yeah, so how we were talking about students today are struggling. They're taking excessive loans out, tuition's it's very expensive, and also the cost of living is, of course, doesn't make the situation better. And so one of the reasons we want students to be part of the labor movement is because students are taught to get an education. You're going to get a BA. It's going to open a lot of doors. And today it's kind of almost hard to grasp that job, that dream job that you want. And so one of the things that we want to get youth involved is, you know, hopefully, just because students are working even multiple jobs as well just to pay off what they're paying off for school, you know, rent, food. And so something that we kind of are doing is we want to raise the wage, for instance. Yeah, we have $15 going to be established by 2022. And here in Sonoma County, we want it by at least 2020, because
I don't know why not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, no, I love how they extend these things. You know, I hate to cut you off like
this. No, that's fine.
No, I hate to cut you off because I'm looking at the clock and it's very important that we talk about what is happening with the event that's coming up on September 27th, which is really, really important. And you're doing it with Occupy Sonoma County, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Who wants to start and talk a little bit about it?
Okay. So, it's going to be actually September 24th. So it's going to be Monday, next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. We will discuss like various topics, including why unions matter and the consequences of union decline. What is the new labor movement and maybe how it looks like? What is the social movement unionism and how does that differ from business unionism? We will explore why unions must build community labor coalitions to organize low income, our immigrant folks, our youth, our women workers, and the role of Jobs with Justice in building community labor coalitions. So yeah, we will also learn about the successful organizing campaigns, specifically Unite Here at the Hyatt Vineyard Creek Hotel in Santa Rosa. And
yeah, that was a big win for you guys.
I mean, it was a big win for them, but we were excited that we got a chance to support them. Yeah. But it was great. It was a campaign that was led mostly by immigrant women. So we were honored to be able to bring out faith leaders, elected leaders, and just everyday community folks to come and march with them and walk with them and help them win their union. And now they have guaranteed wages. They have health benefits for the first time that are consistent. And they were cleaning 36 rooms a day, and now they'll only be cleaning 14. So it's really huge.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, you know, there's a lot that can be covered, and I would like to invite you back again, both of you, to talk a little bit more in depth about what your program is, and also to give a follow-up on this event that's happening. So it's going to be happening on September 24th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be happening at the Peace and Justice Center. Am I correct? What are the times?
7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Is there a website or anything that folks can go to? And remember, folks, anything that is said on this show, we will have on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com. So you can get the information there also.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook at North Bay Jobs with Justice. You can also go to OccupySonomaCounty.org for more information.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here, for your caring and your sharing is so important. Any last thoughts or any last things that you'd like to say?
I mean, thanks for having us. And also just wanted to say thank you to Occupy Sonoma, who are actually the ones putting on this event and giving us a platform to even bring workers and bring our stories. So thank you to them as well.
And thank you, Emerald, for getting the word out. Well, thank you so much, and that's it for our show. A special thank you to Mara Ventura, the director of North Bay Jobs with Justice, a local workers' right and immigrants' right organization, Maria Guadalupe Garcia, and, of course, Regina Brennan from the Sonoma County Black Forum, one of the coordinators of the 2018 Youth Summit. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, the children are our future, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
A woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 17th, 2018.